morning and welcome
from
the church.
We're glad you're here with us as we come together to reinforce our understanding that what we see and experience out here in the world is the result of where our attention is habitually placed. We can read, for example, this statement of being on the back of the program that we read every week. God is all. This one that is all is perfect life. We are that perfect life. It sounds like it's for somebody else. It's not for me. But we're going to see that this is what we are taught here at Quimby Church. That we can have a new experience, a new condition, a new relationship. And we do it differently. We don't analyze the situation and adjust the condition. We do what Emmett Fox taught us to do in the mid-20th century. Stop thinking about the problem, whatever it is, and think about God instead. He called it the golden key, because it keeps us from being stuck in the endless loop of adjusting one problem and another one pops up. We fix it and another one. Why? Because the outer world of conditions and experiences is an effect. The cause starts inside us, in our habitual pattern of what we are nourishing, nurturing, giving attention to. When we fire up that emotional narrative with an emotional charge, we are designing an experience, a condition that will come into our lives. Lou is a member of this church. He drives a taxi in New York. Most of you know him. And his schedule has changed, so he's not able to come on Sunday mornings for a while. But he told us on Wednesday that a woman got in his taxi and she said, you seem happy. I don't run into many happy taxi drivers. Why are you so happy? And Lou said, I choose to be happy. I like being happy. I'm happy first. I'm not waiting for something in the outer world to make me happy. I just like being happy. I decide to be happy. I'm happy. I don't control what then happiness will bring to me. I just trust God. That is the whole essence of this teaching. It's inside first. Without knowing what's going to happen. What we see, I'm going to close with what happened with the discussion between this passenger and Lou in the at the end of their ride and at the end of this lesson. But back to the principle behind this, Emmett Fox's one statement one sentence, the golden key, is a contemporary paraphrasing of Jesus Christ's teaching and behavior. He knew where the power lay. He knew blindness had no power. He knew it couldn't continue once you took away that emotional resistance of, I want it to change. Instead, he simply knew God is present. He didn't say, heal this person, give this person sight. His strong understanding that God's always with us. It's still invisible, but you trust. And then his sight was restored. It's this very same power that took the form of that young boy's lunch when Jesus was speaking to a crowd, and then it got time for, I think it was late afternoon, and the disciples said, you know, you should really let people go and go into the surrounding town and get lunch. And Jesus said, what do we have? Well, we have this little boy's lunch, loaves and fishes. And so Jesus said, bring it to me. He knew there was no limit to power. He just blessed it and handed it out. And God doesn't limit. It wasn't just enough to feed the crowd. After everybody had enough, there were 12 basketfuls left over. When people came up to Jesus and his students and said, you know, you owe us tax, we're here to collect, Jesus simply knew the power would handle it. And he told his disciples, look in the mouth of that fish you just caught. And there was a gold coin, paid the taxes. So the power takes whatever form brings harmony in the outer. Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. His sisters had sent for Jesus when Lazarus was really sick. And the disciples wondered, this is your really good friend. Why are you delaying going to help him? As it turned out, he waited before Lazarus had been dead 3 days. And when he went, everybody was weeping and crying and really having a very tough time. And Jesus simply called Lazarus forth. There was no recovery. There was no waiting. It's just a law that whatever you know with great, you could even say passion, inside yourself, that's what is going to be outside in your experience. So like Lou, I like to be happy. You're happy first, and then there are reasons. There's no waiting for this law to take effect. It's not subject to time or space or scientific proof. When the Roman centurion came to Jesus for healing for his servant, that he cared about deeply, Jesus offered to accompany him back to the soldier's house to see the man who was ill. And the centurion knew it wasn't necessary. He said, because you have the power to order whatever it is, just like me, I have the power to order my soldiers. They do what I say. You order an invisible power. And then Jesus said, usually people argue with me. He said, you're the one person in this whole area that knows and understands. I'm not doing it. It's this power that is universal, that is everywhere, that is loving, that does it. And then a messenger came up and told the centurion, your servant's well. Jesus had only to say the word of truth, and the servant was healed. Just because this power is invisible does not mean that it appears only at certain times and places and to certain people. Jesus' disciples were like us. They were working people. They were fishermen, Peter and Andrew, a doctor, Luke, a tax collector, Matthew. All of them and more allowed this new perspective, this new understanding, to be uppermost in their minds. And they knew, they relaxed, they let go of what their senses, sight and sound, feeling, were reporting. Healings took place because they knew there was one power. It was everywhere. It was divine. And it was active in their consciousness. This full power, all of it, has always been present before the world was. We gave it a name. We call it God. 2,500 years ago, Isaiah wrote in your program, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And this continues in this same chapter of Isaiah. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. A poetic way to say, it's all taken care of. We look at the visible world and we think that's the full story. And all the while, God is fully there. Even when we're looking at tragedy and suffering, this is only part of what is going on. All the while, there is a presence and a power stirring in us, and we can quietly thank and praise God, not knowing what the bigger picture is. We may never know what it is. However, we can trust. With Jesus, we can say, of myself, I can do nothing. It is the Father within that doeth the work. In your program, in the responsive reading, in the first paragraph, in the first paragraph of the reading, it says, we're told that every cell of the body is continually renewed. This process goes on without any conscious help from us. And so the writer says, isn't it possible that this same renewal can also transform our thinking, our awareness, so that we don't argue with what the law is? We expect good. We expect God to be intricately involved in its creation, which includes us. The outer world changes all the time. The seasons, the weather. A baby grows up into an adult. And all the while, we carry around with us this inner, changeless world of good. It is an invisible substance that can take any form and move it from the invisible to the visible. It's complete. Nothing can be taken away from it. Nothing needs to be added to it. It doesn't need our help to become a form, a condition, an experience, or a relationship. We can simply move on from questioning and resisting the circumstances of our lives when we touch this inner full potential inside us. We can decide to drop thinking about all the changes that we want to see and start instead just to accept this good and thank and praise this unlimited power at the center of our being. 3,000 years ago, this is not a new teaching. This is old. The writer of Proverbs, chapter 3, told us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Emmett Fox was a divine science minister who filled Carnegie Hall, which has over 3,000 seats, with two services every Sunday. He was in the 1930s and 1940s. His one sentence, stop thinking about the problem, whatever it is, and think about God instead, allows you to get out of that loop of endless repetition of what you don't want and into the working of the law of bringing about your good, which, by the way, you don't control. It's better than anything you were thinking about. So what if we don't know very much about God? What if we'd like to stop thinking about the problem and think about God? Well, love is always a good place to start. Dr. Seale, who founded this church, says, what we wish for another, we're wishing for ourselves. We seem to have opinions about everything and everyone. And if we are criticizing someone, we are emotionally invested in that person, and we are attracting those same conditions to ourselves. Because cause starts within us. Dr. Seale wrote, God is listening to your consciousness. And if you are constantly repeating the same thing, whether it's positive or negative, Dr. Seale says, God says, you like that? I'm going to send you more. Beware if the content of our attention is negative. And we know when that's going on because it doesn't feel right. It's uncomfortable. And we can always change to love. If you are so aware of someone's behavior that troubles you, you just cannot feel love for that person. Nona Brooks says, send outstreaming goodwill. In closing, I want to tell you about this woman in Lou's taxi. She said, after they had this discussion about Lou choosing to be happy before there was any outer reason, for me, it's like Lou is Jesus Christ coming to Earth today, driving a taxi around Manhattan, and people come in and get help. Because Lou stays centered, knowing that whatever God is directing him to do and say comes from truth, from love. And so this woman says, you know, my daughter gets up every night. She's 4 years old. She comes into my bedroom and just checks to see that I'm there. And she does it several times a night. And I really don't know what to do about it because it's disrupting her sleep and mine. And Lou felt inclined to say, why don't you talk to your daughter and have her come up with a word? Don't give it to her because she may not relate to it. But it could be a word like safe. And just have a little discussion with your daughter and see what feels right to her. And so the woman got out of the taxi and felt really elevated. She felt as if a big weight had been lifted from her shoulder. And of course, we don't know the end of the story, but it sounds like such advice of truth that a child and a mother could both relate to. So for us, we also have a daily path. It may not be driving around picking up strangers, but it's encountering other divine beings. And when we begin to be receptive to the truth that's in us, is the same truth that's in them, and just go first inside us, thanking, loving, praising, then we'll just see what happens, see what unfolds. But the law is listening. So,
Let us pray.
Our Father, we thank you that you have given each of us your full nature. We ask your help to participate in it routinely, naturally, on our daily path, with deep gratitude and love. So it is. Amen.